everybody here knows everybody else. And everybody here knows Bev in a particular way. The first time I ever heard that very distinctive voice, because Bev had a very distinctive voice. I don't think it's respectful for me to do a Bev impersonation, but I can do a Bev impersonation, and I can do it pretty well because he had such a distinctive voice. The first time I ever spoke with that man on the phone, I was still living in British Columbia, and I thought his name was Ben because I hadn't met a man named Bev, and some of his friends told me later his name was Bev Early because he was always early, and they weren't wrong. But he called me 18 years ago around Christmas time to work out the details for my short stay in the pulpit at Walsh. I had arranged with the congregation at Walsh to come and spend 6 months as the interim minister. And that was not the last time that Bev and I chatted on the phone. He's known many, many different pastors, and it's very interesting. Every time I've spoken with a former pastor of Walsh, one of the first questions that comes out of their mouth is, how's Bev doing? He's that well known and that well remembered, and I can say with honesty, I think for all of the pastors of Walsh, he is remembered with deep affection, because you do develop a great affection for that man, and a certain amount of exasperation, which I think is an honest statement too, because he can call you a lot sometimes. There are no words that a pastor has, or any other person, that really can carry the kind of weight that is needed in the moment of grieving. The words that are necessary are the words of God, and the weight of them and the effectiveness of them is utterly dependent in our faith and our belief and our resting upon them. And so just as I open a few words from Jesus and from the Apostle Paul and from the Apostle John, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The Apostle Paul, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The Apostle John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write these things down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Let me pray for us. Father, Lord, we have come together today to remember and to honor the life of Bev Swick. Lord, we have known him and have loved him and have cared for him over these many years. Lord, we're grateful for the life that he has had amongst us. Father, for the effect that he has had among us, Lord, in our own lives, in this family, Lord, in the life of the congregation and church at Walsh. Father, in these various ways, Lord, we're grateful for all that he has been. And Lord, we're grateful for his faith and for the sure and certain knowledge, Lord, that he is today safe in your keeping, more complete, more whole than he has ever been here on this earth. And so, Father, we come together and we mourn, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And so, Father, increase our faith. Help us to see with eyes that see past this temporal, transient world to the things that are eternal. Lord, that our longing might be increased for the day when we will see you and see our brother Bev again. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few things that I will say about Bev, and I know I'm speaking to a little group, and you've probably come thinking, we haven't had a really good sermon in a while, so I hope he goes long, but I won't. And we all know, you all know, you know Bev better than I know Bev, but here's some things that I am reminded of as I was thinking about this man. An incredible mind for details, minutia, little tiny itsy bitsy, double highlighted, underlined, and sent to you in the mail sort of details. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm preaching a little bit this week for Sunday on Elijah. And when Elijah was taken away in a chariot of fire, Elisha, who came after him, said, I would like to inherit a double measure of your spirit, if that could descend upon me. Found myself thinking, as I look over the whole congregation at Walsh, I wish I had somebody that was as detail-minded as Bev, but maybe a half measure instead of a double measure that could descend on somebody. He seemed to know everything that was going on all the time. He would say to me regular, do you know who's in the hospital right now? And I say, no, I. How do I know who's in the hospital? Well, so-and-so is in the hospital. You need to go see that person. He was handy to have in that regard because he just seemed to know what was going on. He was persistent. He was determined. Before there was any such thing as a GPS, there was Bev Swick. And if you were going somewhere, anywhere in southwestern Ontario, he knew how to get there, and he knew how to get there probably faster than on the main road. And he also knew the detour that would take you past a good bakery or donut shop and which pastry you should buy when you stop there. He was enthusiastic. I can hear in my ear, especially when he liked a guest speaker or a guest musician, what did you think of that? What did you think of that? And sometimes I kind of thought, I think that's sort of, that preacher preaches better than you do, or I wish you'd preach more like that preacher would. Or I remember one, that guy preaches without ever looking at his notes. And I thought, That's a commendable thing. But he was enthusiastic. He did like to tease. How many people here have ever received a birthday card from Bev? You know? Yeah. And the birthday card you received probably made you laugh. And for some of us probably went, I don't know if I can share that with anybody else. He just had a particular sense of humor. The only Sunday that he was likely to miss up until very recently when his health started getting bad, the only one that he was likely to miss, and you'd look out and think, well, where is Bev? There was some Sunday in February that he might be inclined to miss that one because he might be afraid that a Greta seeing him in the congregation would strike up happy birthday on the piano. And while he liked to recognize everybody else's birthday, he didn't really like to be the center of attention in that way, or at least that's how he played it. The Sunday he was least likely to miss is the Sunday that comes next, Anniversary Sunday, his favorite Sunday, but more on that in a moment. We are standing here this Saturday morning on a day unlike any that most of us have ever experienced in the midst of an experience none of us ever saw coming. But what's interesting is we stand here this Saturday between Easter Sunday, which is just past, and Anniversary Sunday for Walsh, which is the next one coming. And both of these, I think, tell us something that is worthy of consideration as we think of our brother Bev. Easter Sunday is always worthy of our consideration, because it is on Easter Sunday particularly that we proclaim year after year the victory of Christ over the grave. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This is the gospel about as simply as it can be stated. The gospel is this. The good news is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You can have no gospel, you can have no hope as a believer without the crucifixion of Christ, because there on the cross, Jesus takes my sin upon him, takes Bev's sin upon him. None of us can hope to stand before God at the final judgment on our own merit or on our own works and hope to go into heaven because we've done enough or we have been good enough or we've been holy enough. The crucifixion is utterly essential. Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. But the resurrection is just as essential. Why is the resurrection essential? You cannot be a Christian and not believe that Jesus rose on the third day. Because if Jesus didn't rise on the third day, we don't know whether that atoning death on the cross was actually effective. We know why he went to the cross. We know what his intent was. But if he had any sin of his own within him, then the death he died would have been just. But the reality is that he had none of his sin. He was not a sinner. He died with my sin upon him, with your sin upon him. And in dying in such a way, willingly taking the punishment for our sin, he is declared to have died unjustly. And God, righting that injustice, raises him from the dead. And in rising from the dead, that resurrection breaks the yoke of death. The death of Jesus breaks the yoke of sin. The resurrection of Jesus begins the process of putting to death the final enemy, the enemy which is death. God vindicates him by raising him from the dead. Not a spiritual resurrection, not a ghostly resurrection, not to some sort of half-life. This body of Jesus, torn to pieces by the Romans, is reconstituted. The heart which had stopped beating on the cross begins to beat again. And he comes forth not in a frail, failing body of earth, but in a glorified body fit for heaven. At the cross, Jesus destroys the power of sin. At the empty tomb, he gives notice that death is undone. Christianity, and this is my little point here, and then I will move on, because this is essential. Essential. Christianity is a resurrection religion. This is at the very heart of it. And we sometimes lose sight of this because we live sometimes 85 years in this world where Christianity seems to be about singing the hymns and hearing the sermons and serving in the church and giving and doing and acting and worshiping and gathering. And it's only now, here, finally, at this moment, that the real heart of Christianity, the real hope of the believer, becomes essential and becomes central, because the real hope of the believer is that this world is not all that there is. In fact, this world is such a small, little tiny bit that the James, the writer of Scripture, can say, life is like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away, because what is coming is so much more real and so much more lasting. All these things are part of our faith. I give you just a few words of famous people as I move on to the conclusion here. Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, said this. He says, one day you will hear that Charles Spurgeon has died. Do not believe it. For in that day, Charles Spurgeon will be more alive than he has ever been. Adoniram Judson, I never get his first name right, but that's his name, Judson, missionary to Burma, writes these words. He says, when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. Bev and I never really talked about how he felt about school, but I suspect he was a fellow that probably bounded pretty happily away from school when the call came to go home. When Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. Paul the Apostle, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. If you're a Christian, this is what we hope in. We hope in glory. If Christianity is true, and I believe it is, then the very best day in the entire life of Bev Swick was just a few days ago. It's not to say that he didn't have good days or rich days. We have had good days and rich days, but if you are a believer, the very best day in your life is still before you, because the very, very best day in your life will be the last one in this world, when you finally slip the bonds of mortality and are brought to see Jesus face to face in a place where there is a never-ending flood tide of glory. It's what the Apostle Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable body puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is powerful medicine, and it only has an effect when we receive it by faith. If we can only see with the eyes of flesh, if we can only see up to this moment, if we can only see the remains of our brother Bev behind us in a box, we say none of this makes any sense. Where is the victory? But when we see with eyes of faith and understand what God has promised, we can say death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This perishable must put on imperishability. We know how perishable we are. With the exception of one person in this room, we're all at that place where the body is wearing down. There's one young person who's getting stronger and stronger all the time. But we know what it is to have knees that ache and ears that don't hear and glasses that need to have new prescriptions made. We see what it is like for this perishable body. It is incompatible with the glories that God has prepared. And so the body must die in order that the new body can be constituted. Here's where I want to finish. I said we're living between two Sundays right now. We're living between Easter Sunday and the reality that we live in a resurrection religion, but we're also looking forward to tomorrow, which is anniversary Sunday. There is no Sunday that Bev looked forward to more than anniversary Sunday. There might have been no Sunday that Jane looked less forward to than anniversary Sunday. 6 months or a year before we got to anniversary, Bev would start asking, who's the speaker going to be for next year? Is he any good? He isn't boring, is he? I don't want a boring speaker. He's got to be a good speaker. And then send me a picture of him. I need a picture. Back before there was even internet, mail a picture. Back in those days, Bev didn't make the poster. Jane didn't make the poster. Probably one of you made the poster. He had some relative, right? There, that was a whiz at making posters. I got to get all this stuff to him. Who's the music going to be? I want, somebody good. And I used to say, who should we get? Because I'm just not in that same circle. He wanted to mail the posters out to churches and to friends and to former members and to those who had moved away and to just about anybody who had ever come within 100 yards of the church probably got a copy of the poster mail. He was the great cheerleader for anniversary. But he could also sometimes be the strongest critic. If the crowds didn't meet his expectations in the last number of years, the evening crowd, it didn't matter how many people we had, wasn't a very good turnout. He was a little crestfallen with that. This Sunday, this one that is coming, perhaps for the first time in 144 years, no one will gather at the building in Walsh. No one will mark that anniversary publicly. No posters were ever even made. No special music was even booked. The speaker was canceled. No meal will be shared. For all of us here below, this is the worst anniversary in the history of Walsh Baptist Church. But for our brother Bev above, this is going to be the sweetest, richest, most glorious anniversary Sunday that he has ever seen. I can imagine him now with his face radiant saying, "What do you think of that? Did you hear that?" With new ears. As they sing again the hymns of heaven, as they prepare for the wedding feast of the Lamb, soon to be served when all the church is gathered, there is no sermon to be preached, because the sermon is displayed there for all eyes to see, for we see the Lord face to face. We will be like him as he is. For all that has ever been done at a Walsh anniversary, there will be nothing more glorious than what he is looking upon today. And so we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Instead, let us take the final verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very rich chapter of resurrection. Here's how it all ends. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this assurance here at the very end of 1 Corinthians 15 that our labor here is not in vain. Lord, our lives here are not futile. What we do here counts, Lord. What Bev has done here matters, Lord, because you have made it matter. You have redeemed us with your blood. You have broken the back of death with resurrection. You have given to us hope, Lord, that this life is not all that there is. And so, Father, I pray that you might give to us a renewed desire for you and for the things of you, and look to you and wait for you. And Lord, as each one of our beloved passes from this world to the world to come, Lord, that you might transfer more and more of our allegiance from this place to the place that is coming. Lord, that we might live not in the hope of a temporal glory, but in the hope of an eternal glory. And so, Father, we pray that you would comfort each one with these words. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. David, do you want to make the announcement of where we're going?
We're going up to...